I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture is from Hebrews 10:25 and Matthew 16:18. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And from Matthew 16:18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it.
Thank you, Jack. And thank you, choir. Some of you may not realize how much work and effort is put into the choir. They practice. Sometimes they even let me sing with them, which brings tears to their eyes, but, you know. Anyway, excellent. Now, another thing that I find strangely refreshing. I didn't know I was going to preach today. Matter of fact, till Friday night, I didn't even know what the name of the sermon was going to be. But what I find moving is that the songs that Beth and the choir picked out lead right into the sermon that I've got today. In addition to that, when Troy had his children's moment, led right in to what I'm talking about today. Now, to me, that tells me something. It tells me that the Lord moves in mysterious ways, ways we don't understand, but it happens. Now, as we start this Lent season, it's important that we stop and think about why do we go to church. Let's face the fact, we're all busy. We've got tons of things to do. Okay? So when Sunday comes around, it's so easy to come up with a reason for not coming to church. Now, those reasons may sound really good to us, or they may sound good to people who call, want to know, you know, hey, why weren't you in church Sunday? Are you all right? But do you really think that your reasons that you have given for not coming to church will fly past Christ? It's His church. Now, Christ asked that we do the communion in remembrance of Him. He also said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them. So He's here with us today. The Bible gives us some very compelling reasons for why we should go to church. The first reason is Christ established the church. Like in our passage that Jack read, I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So the church that we see here today, it's the earthly ministry of Christ. The church is the bride that He will come for. The church is the body He heads. And being a Christian and avoiding church is like trying to do God's work your own way. We can't do it. The church, to be effective, an effective method for spiritual victory, must have the support of all the members. We've all heard that saying, and it's true. United we stand, divided we fall. Nothing could be more true about church attendance. Our individual attendance shows others that we believe and that we practice our belief. Christ promised the birth of the church. In Acts, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the birth of the church produced a power that can affect the world. The birth of the church produced the method of witness to the world. So you being here today, you are witnessing not just to the ones around you, but to everybody that knows you. You are in church worshiping the Lord. You are witnessing for the Lord. Now, our beliefs are based on faith because we've never physically seen Jesus, but we know that he is. And the church provides a visible witness of our belief in Christ. How we align ourselves with the church is related to our witness for Christ. We need to be very careful when we call ourselves Christian if we neglect the church. The institution of the church is how God chose to function effectively. In Ephesians, we're told, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we do that, when we come to church, it helps us to no longer be tossed back and forth on what do we believe. And we're blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their scheming. And believe me, they do. You know that. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we all grow in Christ, who is the head of the church. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by everyone, all of you, supporting one another. That grows and builds up itself in love, as each part does its work. Now, God gave each one of us gifts, certain gifts. We all don't have the same gifts. I'm not the world's best singer, but these in our choir are. They have that gift. Others don't want to stand up and speak in front of people. Some of us do. But their gift is just as valuable to the Lord as any other one. No one gift is upheld above the other. So the church teaches us how to interact with our world biblically. It's the church that teaches us what it means to serve others. The church is where spiritual reproduction is accomplished. And it's the church that provides the individual strength for each one of us believers. God designed our growth to be nourished and protected by the church. Now, all of us have seen people in our lives that when they have a crisis, man, they come running to the church and they look for the church to get them through. And then when it's over and it's past and the crisis is gone, well, just tuck that church back to the side until the next crisis. What they miss is that the church can prepare us for any crisis. The church becomes a place not to run to, but it becomes a pillar of strength. The church is our shelter against the future. In Hebrews, Paul wrote, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left." Now, we all know that there are some that forsake attending church. But what happens when they do that? When they start forsaking the attendance to the church, they're actually starting to draw away from God. When we forsake coming to church, we start losing hope. And certainly, when we forsake coming to church, we start to lose our concern for others. And we only have time for ourselves. Paul summed it up pretty well in Romans when he said, "I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law, of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." That's us. It was written many, many years ago, but it's still applicable to us today. Now, our need for the church grows as we grow. And without the church and the body of believers being here with you who believe, we can be enticed away from the Lord. We can yield to those temptations that are outside, that are so promising, that look like so much fun. Again, in Timothy, it says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Now, folks, every day of our lives, we hear that. We see that. There are people that want to lead you away, that want to lead you away from the Lord. So when we don't attend church, it creates an internal conflict within us. First, we know we should be there, but we chose not to be there. By avoiding church, what we're really declaring is that the blood of Christ is no different than anybody else's blood. And that's just not true. Like the song says, His blood washes away our sins. Many people don't need an excuse to stay home from church. They've been doing it for so long, it's the thing to do. They have other things to devote their time to. And they just don't think that their individual attendance matters. Trust me, your attendance matters. It matters to me, it matters to every one of you who are here today. Because as you look around, you see other believers that believe and are practicing their beliefs. That's got to be bolstering to you. In our Sunday school class, I have told them many times that being there with them helps me. It helps my faith because I know that they believe. And their belief builds me up. Unfortunately, people put their individual desires first. But what do we miss when we miss church? Well, we lose out on the prayers and the sermons. That may have done us good. We miss an opportunity to witness our belief and our faith to others. And we lose out on helping our own belief. So yes, church in God's sight is important. My attendance and your attendance proves how much you love Christ. And true love rarely fails to keep an appointment. Now, I don't know how many more Sundays God may give me. But I do know that it would be poor preparation for my first Sunday in heaven if I missed attendance at church on my last Sunday here. Christ loved the church. He loved it enough to give himself for it. He loved it enough to set the church apart from the world. He loved the church enough to clean it and us up. And membership in the body, in the church, is fundamental to a faithful Christian life. Failure to do that defies an explicit warning in the Bible. In this text, it says, don't fail to assemble yourselves together. We need to remember that the church alone doesn't provide salvation. God does through Christ. But because the saved, one can't fulfill what it means to be a Christian apart from the church. So membership becomes an indispensable mark of salvation. So what does attending church mean to us? Well, it bolsters my belief. In the company of other believers, it actually makes us feel good. When you've been to church, and after church, you go down to eat, either at home or at a restaurant, you actually feel good. Like, you know, hey, I did something good today. At least it started out that way. Even if we don't really appreciate the service, we know that we made the right choice by attending and worshiping together. So I leave you with this. Church is an essential thing for your well-being, for your peace of mind. But more important, your attendance is so important to everyone else, here. So don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Do it with joy and with love. And when you sing the songs, pay attention to the words. Those words, like the songs that were sung today, talk about the Lord. They are worshiping the Lord. When the prayers are said, if you feel like praying on your own, do so. But listen to the prayers. They're being passed up for you, for all of us. So I am so glad to be here with you this morning. I appreciate each and every one of you. You bring me a peace of mind, and you make me, or make my faith stronger. So I thank each and every one of you. If you'll pray with me. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to meet together to worship you. We ask that you be with us in our daily lives, and help us to be believing examples of your church so that others may see. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.